It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. A new phase in the impeachment trial.
Chief Justice John Roberts, who will then read the question aloud.
That is our top story at noon today with the opening arguments now over. Let the questions commence. Senators will submit their written questions over the next couple of days. Correspondent Bill Rakoff is on Capitol Hill.
Lawmakers will write their questions down on paper, which will then be vetted by their caucus to make sure they're not repetitive. Then they'll go to Chief Justice John Roberts, who will perform his biggest role in the impeachment trial to date, and read those questions out loud. Then the president's legal team or the House managers will have 5 minutes or less to answer the questions. The total time for the Q&A session, 16 hours, spread out over Wednesday and Thursday.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting from Washington. The battle for new witnesses at the impeachment trial seems to be gaining momentum, too. Here's Maine Republican Susan Collins.
There have been a lot of discussions, but I have no idea how the votes are going to fall.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he does not have the Republican votes needed to block efforts to call new witnesses. Minnesota Democrat and 2020 White House hopeful Amy Klobuchar.
Looks like we're starting to see some cracks in their numbers. They've had private conversations with senators, and we will see.
If you go down the road of witnesses, it's not going to be one, it's going to be many.
South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham, President Trump on the stump last night in Wildwood, New Jersey, where his impeachment trial was front and center.
They can't win an election, so they're trying to steal an election. It's not happening, folks. It's not happening.
And the president telling the raucous crowd last night he is not concerned with his impeachment trial. Mr. Trump's attorney, meantime, Rudy Giuliani, taking aim at John Bolton. The former national security advisor claims in his new book that the president told him to freeze aid to Ukraine in exchange for political dirt on the Bidens.
He never said to me, I've got a problem with what you are doing in Ukraine. Never once. Never winked. Never sent me a little note. That's classic backstabber.
Bolton's claims have served as the catalyst for Democratic calls for new witnesses. President Trump today signing the new North American trade deal into law happened at a ceremony at the White House moments ago.
The USMCA is the largest, fairest, most balanced and modern trade agreement ever achieved.
The president says the new trade deal will replace what he calls the nightmare known as NAFTA.
This is a colossal victory for our farmers, ranchers, energy workers, factory workers, and American workers in all 50 states.
The trade deal still has to be ratified by Canada. Combating Corona. That is the other big story at noon.
Travelers avoid unnecessary travel to China.
The U.S. has evacuated over 200 citizens from China as concerns over the spread of the coronavirus continue to grow. A plane landed at a military base in Southern California this morning after a stop in Alaska overnight. American Ian Thompson on the plane.
I'm lucky to be on this flight.
The death toll from the coronavirus has now topped 130. Domestic flights to China could now be canceled. Reporter Carter Evans has more.
For flights coming from China, the CDC has increased the number of screening stations from 5 to 20, including 2 land borders. They'll all act as quarantine stations where health workers will check travelers for illness before they're admitted into the country.
That's Carter Evans reporting. British Airways today suspended all of its flights into China because of the coronavirus. The bug has also forced the postponement of sporting events around the world, and the Olympic qualifying tournaments in China are now being moved to different locations. The investigation into the helicopter crash that killed NBA superstar Kobe Bryant and 8 others has now centered around the pilot.
The
pilot had 1,250 hours of flight time on the S-76 helicopter.
Jennifer Homendy at the NTSB says they're still trying to figure out why the pilot chose to continue the flight after encountering thick fog Sunday morning. Moments before the crash, Homendy says the helicopter rose, then a rapid, terrifying descent.
This was a high energy impact.
All of the bodies have now been recovered, along with major portions of that helicopter. Officials say the chopper did not have a safety device that warns the pilot when it's getting too close to land. Meantime, last night, more incredible emotions on display. Kobe Bryant's former Laker teammate, Shaquille O'Neal.
You know, once you're gone forever. And, you know, we should never take stuff like that for granted.
Today, the current L.A. Lakers will meet with the media for the first time since Kobe Bryant's death. A whole lot of shaking going on in South Florida.
I was at my desk working, and all of a sudden, my body started going front and backward.
That woman in Miami felt it. A magnitude 7.7 earthquake centered in the Caribbean between Jamaica and Cuba. Folks in the Cayman Islands felt the strongest of the aftershocks. No word of any major damage or injuries. Georgia Congressman Doug Collins, running for the U.S. Senate.
I'm just going to confirm we're in for the Georgia Senate race down here.
Collins is the top Republican on the House Judiciary Committee and has been one of the biggest supporters of President Trump during the impeachment proceedings. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, a major newspaper gets sold in Buffalo, breast cancer screening in Harrisburg, and a small business revolution in Fredonia.
Well, good afternoon to all. We've got a rather quiet weather pattern in play with the expectation of seeing some sun over the next couple days. I'll be back with forecast details in 10 minutes.
All righty, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. Checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania. Wednesday, January 29th, New York lawmakers now floating a bill that would end life sentences for elderly inmates. But one Western New York state senator says this is the wrong move.
To think that if somebody is 55 years old, that they are too old to commit another crime is ridiculous.
The elder parole bill getting a big thumbs down from Republican Patrick Gallivan.
The governor, in a state of the state, and I'm quoting, said the government's first priority is to protect its people, and New York is failing that right now.
The population of state prisoners over the age of 50 has increased by 81% in New York since the year 2000. Penn State University now urging students to be cautious when traveling to Asian countries. It's because of the deadly coronavirus outbreak in China. Dr. Liz McGraw runs the Penn State Center for Infectious Diseases.
It's a virus that's related to other viruses we've seen in the past. So we've heard about SARS in the past and also MERS.
Hundreds of Chinese international students attend Penn State University. Most went home during winter break but returned to state college before the coronavirus became a national health scare.
So it's a good thing this didn't happen back before Christmas. But I know that our Penn State health personnel are watching our students and looking for symptoms.
There are no confirmed coronavirus cases in Pennsylvania or New York. Five cases have been reported nationwide. Family Life's Bob Price continues.
Health Commissioner Dr. Howard Zucker says residents need to make sure they're washing their hands often, avoid close contact with people who are sick, and stay home if you're sick. Also, cover your cough and sneeze, avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth, and clean and disinfect frequently touched objects and surfaces. Bob Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bob. The Pennsylvania State Senate will vote today on a bill that would require insurance companies to cover additional cancer screenings for patients with dense breast tissue. Thousands of women in the Keystone State have that type of tissue, which can make it harder to detect breast cancer on a mammogram. Now, if the bill passes, Pennsylvania would be one of the first states in the country to require insurance companies to cover the cost for additional cancer screenings. The Democratic candidate for New York's 58th Senate District, kicking off her campaign yesterday, Leslie Danks Burke, visiting Penn Yan and Ithaca, where she slammed the current economic climate in the Empire State.
We are paying through the nose, and Albany is not taking care of our schools, our bridges and roads. Our children don't have a future here, and they're leaving. And we can't have that anymore. We need someone to go to Albany to demand a seat at the table and fight for our interests.
And Burke will go up against the Republican incumbent Tom O'Meara on Election Day. The Buffalo News has been sold to the media group Lee Enterprises in a multi-million dollar deal.
In the next 5 years, we're going to see many more newspapers disappearing, and also we're going to see many more newspapers being acquired by hedge funds. And here you go. Here's part of the trend,
That's a change. SUNY Fredonia Communications Professor Mike Igo there. He says the deal once again proves how tough the newspaper business is today.
They thought the salvation was going to be the digital platform. Some companies had had some success, and New York Times is one of them, in charging people. But in general, people don't like to pay for the, you know, online services because you can get the news so many other places.
The Buffalo News was among 31 newspaper operations previously owned by Warren Buffett's group, Berkshire Hathaway, to be sold to Lee Enterprises in a $140 million cash deal. What a night in Fredonia. A lot of happy people there. The Chautauqua County community has just won the big prize on the hit television show Small Business Revolution.
Out of 6,000 towns, to be the one winner across the whole country is just absolutely incredible.
Grace Chakowski entering her hometown for that national contest. She says winning it took a team effort.
I'm so excited. This has really been such a collaborative effort, and getting all of the people from the community to really kind of work towards something together has been so inspiring, so I can't wait to see what's next.
This is absolutely essential for our community.
That's Fredonia Mayor Doug Asick.
We don't have large industry in our village, so the small business is our lifeline, and there are the people live here, they go to school here, and that's what it's all about. We need to support our own people here.
Fredonia, New York will now cash in on $500,000 in economic development money. Filming for season 5 of Small Business Revolution will start in March. New York State is struggling to cut billions from Medicaid, and now Governor Cuomo is warning the program could become unsustainable. Here's Family Life's Jeremy Miller.
Governor Cuomo says New York is one of the success stories of Medicaid eligibility expansion under what was called Obamacare, with the number of uninsured in the state dropping sharply. At the same time, though, the program's burning a hole in Albany coffers, and Cuomo says projected deficits next year alone top $2 billion. Most of the cost of Medicaid expansion under the ACA is being paid by the federal government, but the costs covered by states are going up. Another controversial idea to deal with it would make local governments pay more to help sustain Medicaid if costs keep rising fast. Jeremy Miller, Family Life News.
Appreciate it, Jeremy. The New York State is home to where immigrants have the biggest economic impact. That, according to Wallet Hub, the Empire State was first in the number of jobs generated by immigrant-owned businesses, number one in terms of international students, and tops in the economic contribution from international students. Pennsylvania was ranked 14th overall on that Wallet Hub survey. A Penn State survey finds the average household throws away, get this, 30% of the food it buys. Family Life's Terry Diener.
Using survey data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and a nutritional science formula, a Penn State professor of agricultural economics and his students were able to calculate the difference between what households were buying and how much food they actually needed to maintain each person's body weight. In addition to the 30% of wasted food, the study also determined the average home spends more than $1,800 per year on food that's never eaten. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. Let's head on over to the sports desk. A big upset at the Australian Open. It is sunny time. Your two-minute drill.
Yeah, let's start down under. And top seed Rafael Nadal is out, losing in four sets to number five Dominic Thiem at the Australian Open. Nadal's career best streak of reaching at least the semis in seven consecutive Grand Slam tournaments comes to an end. Thiem moves on to face number seven seed Alexander Zverev. The other men's semis feature defending champion Novak Djokovic taking on number three Roger Federer. On the women's side, Wimbledon champion and Simona Halep advance to the semis. She'll face unseeded Garbine Muguruza. Number one overall seed, Ashley Barty, the Australian, meets number 14 seed, American Sophia Kennan, in the other women's semi. It's Super Bowl week, and the Chiefs are getting ready for Super Bowl 54. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes says it's special to join Dan Marino and Kurt Warner as the only quarterbacks to be named MVP and reach a Super Bowl in their first three seasons.
Anytime that you're mentioned with names like that, it is special. And so I understand that this is a great opportunity.
The San Francisco 49ers in search of their record-tying sixth Super Bowl Sunday. Surprising head coach Kyle Shanahan the most.
How resilient the guys have been. We came into the season. You know, we were a 4-12 team the year before. Our guys were very confident going into the year, but you never know until you get into that.
Baseball news, Dusty Baker in line to replace A.J. Hinch as manager of the Houston Astros. The Astros plan to hire the 70-year-old. He interviewed with Houston last week, managed Washington in 2017, and is a three-time manager of the year. On the ice, off night for the Sabres, falling to the Senators 5-2. In the NBA in Cleveland, Jrue Holiday put up 28 points, Zion Williamson chipping in 14. Pelicans beat the Cavaliers 125-111. In Toronto, Kyle Lowry had 12 points and 11 assists to become the Raptors' career assist leader as they beat the Hawks 130-114. Terry Rozier had a game-high 30 and 10 boards. Hornets beat the Knicks 97-92. Joel Embiid returns with 24 points and 10 boards in the Sixers' 115-104 win against the Warriors. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphia.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report, the next phase in the impeachment trial. Starting school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And PETA versus Punxsutawney Phil.
A few weeks ago, I was asked whether I was optimistic or pessimistic about the state of education in America. My answer? Both. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Back in 2015, the state legislature of Montana created a dollar-for-dollar tax credit for individuals who donate to organizations that provide scholarships to private schools. In response, the Montana Department of Revenue ruled that such a tax credit would violate the state's version of the Blaine Amendment, which prohibits state funding of religious education. So the state terminated the program altogether. Kendra Espinoza, a single mom who works extra jobs in order to send her kids to a Christian school in Kalispell, challenged the Department of Revenue's ruling in court. The case is currently on the Supreme Court's docket for this term. During oral arguments, conservative justices like Alito and Kavanaugh brought up the court's decision in Trinity Lutheran versus Comer, which held that forcing a church school to choose between participating in an otherwise available benefit program or remaining a religious institution violated the free exercise clause. Unsurprisingly, the liberal justices disagreed with that. What was surprising is that the editorial board of the Washington Post came out on the side of Espinoza. Using scholarships at private religious schools is not only a parent's right, the editorial board wrote, but using them doesn't undermine or harm public education or the state, quote, contrary to many of the tropes advanced by those opposed to school choice. It's not often that I find myself in complete agreement with the editorial board of the Washington Post. Look, I'm old enough to remember when the very existence of Christian educational alternatives was threatened by government entities. Oh yeah, we all are old enough. Such threats are still very much a reality, especially in California. The truth is, government-imposed ideologies, especially so-called SOGI legislation, that's sexual orientation and gender identity laws, very much threaten the future of Christian educational institutions. Still, I hold great hopes for their futures. And not only because this crucial Montana case is being heard in our recently remade Supreme Court. It's because Christians are currently bringing an incredible amount of innovation and creativity to education. In a Christianity Today article last August, Louis Marcos described a homeschooling co-op in Kentucky that not only is steeped in the great books, but whose purpose is to glorify God, free the mind of students from the marketplace of idols, and shape them into virtuous, morally self-regulating citizens. All across the country, innovative classical schools like this one are exploding, some in the form of homeschool co-ops, others in the form of private or charter schools. Also, excellent paraeducational options now abound, from outstanding conferences for high schoolers and college students offered by Summit Ministries, Worldview Academy, and Impact 360, to graduate and even postgraduate training programs such as the John Jay Institute and the Alliance Defending Freedom's Blackstone Legal Fellowship. All of these point to a real rejuvenation in Christian education, and we're seeing their fruit. Time and again, I meet Christian secondary students who are running their own businesses, digging much-needed wells for communities in Africa, or fighting to save preborn lives or victims of sex trafficking. Historically, Christians have seen education as a gift we can best offer, not only to our own, but to the world, as a vehicle of knowing God and of promoting human flourishing. Now, I'm not certain how the court will decide in this Montana case, but I see reasons for optimism no matter what the justices decide. And how refreshing that is. After all, these days, that kind of optimism can be as rare as agreeing with the Washington Post. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
We are coming up on 20 minutes past the hour this Wednesday afternoon. Let's head outside. Here's meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. This week is the anniversary of some big storms in our region. The blizzard of 66 that produced 100 inches of snow in Oswego. The blizzard of 77 that shut Buffalo down. But all is serene on the weather scene. No big storms are looming. There will be a system moving up and off the East Coast this weekend, but likely too far east to be impactful here. In the meantime, for this afternoon, expect stubborn cloudiness to be giving way to sunshine in places. Temperatures peaking in the 20s and low 30s. Tonight will be partly cloudy to clear and chilly, the low in the teens. Tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine, the high in the 30s. And then looking ahead to Friday, after a little morning sunshine, mostly cloudy. And the high temperature on Friday will be in the 30s.
Okay, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you are just joining us today, here are some of the stories we're chasing down for you this Wednesday, January 29th. Let the questions begin. U.S. senators in the impeachment trial of President Trump will start writing down their questions that Chief Justice John Roberts will then read aloud. The Q&A session expected to last 2 days. Here's South Carolina Republican Lindsey Graham.
This is the weakest case you'll ever see in the history of the country in terms of impeachment. The president will be acquitted, and I think it will be this week.
Meantime, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says he doesn't have the votes to block Democratic efforts to call new witnesses. Correspondent Paula Reed says new witnesses means the impeachment trial could drag on indefinitely.
This would make things much more complex. It would raise a lot of other issues, first in the Senate and then in a lengthy court battle. And the White House believes it's unpredictable how long it would take to actually resolve these questions of executive privilege.
That's Paula Reed reporting from Capitol Hill this afternoon. 200 Americans who'd been stuck in Wuhan, China, have now landed safely at a military base near Los Angeles. American Ian Thompson was on that airplane.
I had to go through my embassy to get here. It's basically a case of I'm lucky to be on this flight.
Overnight, the passengers were screened in Anchorage for the coronavirus. Dr. Ann Zink is Alaska's chief medical officer.
Passengers had already been screened twice before they left China. They were monitored throughout the flight. And in Anchorage, the passengers were screened twice more and were approved to continue on to California by the CDC.
The death toll from the virus in China now stands at 132. President Trump signing the new North American trade deal into law today. Mr. Trump says USMCA will replace what he calls the nightmare, known as NAFTA.
For the first time in American history, we have replaced a disastrous trade deal that rewarded outsourcing with a truly fair and reciprocal trade deal that will keep jobs, wealth, and growth right here in America.
USMCA still needs to be ratified by Canada. President Trump's Mideast peace plan getting mixed reviews in the region today. Palestinians are upset because that plan gives Israel large chunks of the West Bank.
Who is Trump? Who gave him permission to give our land to Israel? It is our land.
Israelis are concerned that the plan calls for a Palestinian state.
It is the land that God gave the Jewish people. So I don't see why we have to divide it.
Israel plans to annex parts of the West Bank, raising fears of a new round of violence there. The public getting a rare look at some historic maps that belong to King George III.
What's the dancing to me?
Wrongoers may know him as Mad King George.
I've had no peace of mind since we lost America.
The king who lost our War of Independence.
Forests old as the world itself. meadows, plains.
Now more than 3,000 maps and prints from his collection have been posted online to mark the 200th anniversary of his death.
That's Vicki Barker reporting from London today in Cape Canaveral this morning.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition.
There you go. SpaceX celebrating yet another successful launch of its rocket to get more Starlink satellites into outer space. The company hopes to create a network of satellites around the globe to deliver internet service no matter where you are. And an experimental program at a Michigan high school will allow a handful of students there to start school at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. My kids would love that. Family Life's Tracy Lynn.
Students in the Eastern Flex Academy will start their day with English and math classes, break for dinner, and then wrap up their remaining courses online. The program is designed to squeeze in part-time schedules, internships, and even family responsibilities. But the most popular reason for taking Flex classes? Catching up on rest. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
No complaints there. Thank you, Tracy. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour next at noon, we're going inside out with Martha Manikas Foster. Today's topic, the persecuted church. Let's listen in.
It costs something to be a Christian in North Korea and in Afghanistan and Somalia and in the other countries where 260 million Christians live under high levels of persecution. But the American church often doesn't pay attention.
North Korea has been a very oppressive system, particularly on Christians.
For the 19th year in a row, North Korea tops a list of the 50 countries where it is the most dangerous to be a Christian. This is according to the most recent World Watch List ranking. David Curry is the president and CEO of Open Doors USA, which released the report earlier this month.
I am calling the American church to wake up. If we were to wake up, it would be us praying on a daily and weekly basis for these people, understanding that the believer in the Middle East is part of us.
Curry believes that the American church can often get distracted.
The scripture is telling us we can't do everything, but here's a few things we want every believer to do. And one of them is pray for believers who are persecuted for the name of Jesus.
And the World Watch List reveals much to pray and speak up about. One fact is that in the most populated countries on earth, the governments now monitor everyone's movements.
China has a massive surveillance system, which affects all of their citizens.
This year, China moved up 5 places on the World Watch List. That's in the wrong direction, from number 27 to number 23. So there's lots of reasons to be concerned about the impact of government surveillance on China's estimated 97 million Christians.
They now are putting cameras in every church. Those churches, house churches that refuse, they're shutting down. They shut down, I think, 5,596 churches in China last year. You're pressuring and squeezing using the surveillance.
And because the Chinese government has now begun rating people with a kind of citizenship score, it appears ready to count Christian behavior against a person in this new social credit system.
China will be able to oppress a massive amount of population by watching you while you're in church, keeping the score through the use of artificial intelligence, tracking what you do, and punishing you for being a Christian.
The Chinese government has developed a track record of this kind of behavior already.
These fears aren't unfounded. They're already doing it to Muslims in the northeast of China, where they're putting them in concentration camps and trying to strip them of their faith and their culture.
It's the communist and post-communist ideology which fuels the oppression in both China and North Korea.
It's really the rise of the state as God. Once again, back from the Soviet days, where they're trying to strip people of any religious practice.
But Christians living in the countries on this list are squeezed and threatened and imprisoned and killed because of a number of motivations, including Islamic oppression, ethnic antagonism, dictatorial paranoia, religious nationalism, and organized crime. Curry's call is for American Christians to pray and then to speak for those around the world who are not being heard.
If we were to speak with one voice and said that we want to see religious freedom for Christians around the world and those that we do business with as a government, I think our policymakers would have to listen.
Curry points to the outcome of the prayers and the worldwide action that supported the release of Pakistani Christian Asia Bibi, a woman who had been convicted of blasphemy and condemned to die.
that is a ray of hope that maybe people are beginning to see through, or at least enough pressure is on these governments, you know, regarding these really tough blasphemy laws. I think that's a ray of hope.
If we're primed to throw our lot in with Christians whose livelihoods and lives are on the line for their faith, Curry knows of many ways we can help care for them.
There's lots of scripture that encourages us to pray for people who are in prison for the name of Jesus as if it were our own family, as if it were our own brother or sister or ourselves.
In addition to prayer, the Open Doors website includes options for helping the persecuted with our actions, resources, and time.
And there are projects in all of these countries around the world, individual people that you can help touch as a group, as a church, as families, you know, an individual.
He says that as we pray, write letters, volunteer, or advocate for Christian brothers and sisters in peril, we'll grow.
But just understanding, this is counting the cost, and these are heroes of the faith, and we can take inspiration from them and learn from them.
You can see the entire 2020 World Watch List and see the options that Open Doors offers for helping persecuted Christians, all by going to fln.org/insideout. I'm Martha Menikas Foster with this Inside Out report on family life.
Thank you, Martha. Inside Out comes your way Wednesdays during the noon report.
Good afternoon. Here is your family life regional weather forecast. This week is the anniversary of some big storms in our region. The blizzard of 66 that produced 100 inches of snow in Oswego. The blizzard of 77 that shut Buffalo down. But all is serene on the weather scene. No big storms are looming. There will be a system moving up and off the East Coast this weekend, but likely too far east to be impactful here. In the meantime, for this afternoon, expect stubborn cloudiness to be giving way to sunshine in places. Temperatures peaking in the 20s and low 30s. Tonight will be partly cloudy to clear and chilly, the low in the teens. Tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine, the high in the 30s. And then looking ahead to Friday, after a little morning sunshine, mostly cloudy. And the high temperature on Friday will be in the 30s.
We will take it. Thank you, Kevin Williams. Finally at noontime, PETA versus Punxsutawney Phil. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
The animal rights group says they've sent a letter to the Punxsutawney Groundhog Club asking them to retire the resident rodent, as well as the tradition of using him as a weather predictor. The organization says being in close proximity to the public causes these animals great stress. PETA says Phil's stress does not end after Groundhog Day. His habitat at the Punxsutawney Memorial Library during the rest of the year does not allow him or the other groundhog there to dig, burrow, or forage. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.